This is HPR episode 2410 entitled, OLF 2017 Report. It is hosted by Ahuka and is about 23 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, OLF 2017, a free and open source software conference took place on September 29, October 1, 2017.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Ahuka, welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode. And what I'd like to do this time is tell you a little bit about my experience of Ohio Linux Fest 2017, which happened over the first weekend of October, or last weekend of September, so September 29th, 30th, October 1st. I was there for the Friday and Saturday and had a great time, so I want to tell you about it. I made the trek to Columbus yet again, and I was impressed by the fact that it was really a good event. I took the afternoon off from work to drive down from Michigan, and that's about a three-hour drive, and made sure to get there on time for the opening keynote on Friday evening, which was Karen Sandler from the Software Freedom Conservancy, who gave a talk called The Battle Over Our Technology. I thought there was an interesting coincidence because I was at another conference the day before, that would be Thursday the 28th, talking to some people about Internet of Things and security and stuff like that. And I made the argument that if the code was not available, I was not going to believe they had security. And I got a lot of pushback about, you know, oh, if we make our code available, other people will steal our work, and this is our proprietary advantage, yada, yada. And I brought up Karen as an example because she's always been very open about sharing her experience of getting a pacemaker installed. And she, in fact, talked about that as part of this talk. And when they were installing the pacemaker, she tried to get a look at the code and was, first of all, they kind of stared at her like she was a three-headed dragon all of a sudden. And then, no, you're not going to see the code. That's our proprietary advantage. We can't do that. And now we've seen several things since then. One, I recall, was that our former Vice President Dick Cheney, who has a pacemaker, and let us just say we live in very polarized times, they thought, okay, we've got to take steps to make sure no one can hack his pacemaker. Interesting sign of where we are. And then really just within the last few weeks in this country, we had a recall that, and I don't know if it was just in the United States or worldwide, it may well be worldwide, but about 500,000 people had to go to their doctor's offices to get a code update because the proprietary code in their pacemaker was very insecure. So in talking about the importance of open source, you know, that's something Karen brought up, but she then went on to say, you know, there's two different things here. There's efficiency. And I think very often when we talk about open source, we focus on the efficiency, right? If the code is open, more people can work on it, more eyes on it, easier to catch bugs, things like that. But Karen took it a step further and said, no, there's also moral and ethical issues involved, and talked about her engineering She initially got a degree in engineering and was a member of an engineering society that really promoted this idea of social responsibility. When you build something, and this engineering society would look at some of the great engineering disasters, bridges that collapsed and things like that, and say, yeah, if you don't do your job right, this is what can happen. So it was interesting to see that moral dimension brought in. And that made it, I think, a really great kickoff to the whole weekend. So after her opening keynote, we had a happy hour sponsored by a company called Fusion Storm. And that was in the vendor room. And that's the same as they did last year. And it worked out very nicely. So, I got to do my first pass through there, talk to a number of people in the vendor room. EFF was there, of course, and the Free Software Foundation. So I'm a member of both of those. So we just kind of chatted a little bit. They weren't able to sell me on anything because I've already bought it. But while I was there, I got to spend some time with 5150, who was at Ohio Linux Fest, Verbal, and John Miller. And they had a nice nacho bar. And so a nice evening. And then once I was finished with that, I decided to make my way to my room for the night because I knew the next day was going to be busy and tiring. So Saturday, great start, a strong start, a keynote from Marion Duffy. And her talk was, "Who cares if the code is free? User experience and open source." Now, Marion is a UX expert, user experience, and she's working on the Fedora project. And what she was doing was looking into the design issues with open source and then talking about how to get more people involved, which I think is really important. If your software is technically good, but it sucks to use it, what have you done, really? If you want people to use the software, it has to be, to some degree, user-friendly. She was making the point that open-source projects, the whole open-source ecosystem, requires a lot of different skills. And to be successful, we need all of these skills. Now, there is a mindset among some people, not everyone, but I've seen it, that says coders are the only ones that really matter. So if you write code, you get to have a say. If you don't write code, you don't count for anything. I think that is a kind of a sickness in our ranks. Oddly enough, the people who believe that are all coders. An astonishing coincidence, that. It was a good talk, really appreciated it. After that, they had basically four tracks in four different rooms going through the rest of the day. So the first one was sysadmin and development. You could have called that two half tracks, maybe. Then one called Dev Random, and that was the kind of the miscellaneous for anything that didn't fit any other category. Then there's one called Career Track, and that's something OLF has been doing for a number of years now, and it still is very popular. And then finally, one on security. Now, if you followed any of the things that I've done on Hacker Public Radio, it probably won't surprise you terribly much to find that the security track got most of my attention. So, I'm going to be talking about what I saw. If someone else wants to, maybe 5150 wants to do something, his experience would be very different from mine. I don't recall being in one of those rooms with him off the top of my head. So he probably saw things very differently. Within the security track, I really liked the speakers. I was impressed. It really seemed to be a pretty high quality to the average talk that we saw there. To kick it off was a fellow named Kent Adams from a company called SIP.us. And talking about voice over IP security basics. And this is a useful thing to take a look at that people often don't think of because, oh, it's just telephone. You know, what does telephone have to do with security? Well, it's IP, right? So basically, your telephone service is coming in via internet protocol. That's what V over IP means. So you have all of those security issues that come with the fact that you're connected to the internet. You're sending and receiving packets. So we got to start thinking about, well, how is your firewall configured? Who is it sending packets your way? Is your software patched and up to date? So, you know, listening to what Kent said, if you came in there with the mindset of network security, it would have sounded very much like a network security talk because essentially that's what it was. Right? You have all of the same issues. It was a really good talk. Kent was a very engaging speaker. So I really enjoyed that. I would certainly go to another talk by Kent. Then after that, there was a fellow named Tom Kopchak. I hope I'm pronouncing all these names right, from a company called Hurricane Labs. And he had a talk called Building a Malware Analysis Lab with Open Source Software. Now, in the course of that, he talked about open source tools like Squid, Snort, Suricata, pfSense, etc., and then tying them together with some scripting and, you know, how you can use that to start analyzing some of the malware. And that's an important thing. You need to be monitoring what's going on your network, and these tools are very good for that. After that, it was the lunch break. So I wandered over to Subway to get a salad and then came back. And the first talk after lunch was a fellow named Roberto Sanchez. And I remembered him from last year because I was at his talk last year. He did a wonderful talk about how he prepares his computer science students. Right, he's a professor at a local university. And instead of just getting them to write the 1,000,000th Hello World print script, he was getting them involved in the tools and practices of actual software development, like getting GitHub accounts, making pull requests, things like that. And what he found in doing that was that he was really giving his students a leg up when it came time to hit the market, because when they went interviewing for a position, it wasn't just, yeah, I have a degree, here's what my grades look like, but they could go into the interview and saying, oh, yeah, I've done GitHub, I've done pull requests, I've done all of these things. So, you know, it was a wonderful way to look at it. So I had a high opinion of Roberto going in. He did not disappoint. So this year, his talk was on the secure cloud, Linode with full disk encryption. Now, Linode is a provider that offers inexpensive Linux virtual servers. It's not the only company out there, but it was one of the vendors at Ohio Linux Fest. And they seem to offer pretty decent, inexpensive service if you want a virtual server. Roberto took us through how to do this securely by showing how you could set up your virtual server in an encrypted manner. Now, probably 90% of what he talked about would apply anytime you're setting up a server. But taking us through the process step by step was valuable. And seeing that, yeah, you know, even if you're on a virtual server that is being controlled by an outside company, you can still bring in these kinds of security issues. And I think that's great. After that, I made my one break from following the security track to go hear my old friend Drew Levine talk about the new features in FreeNAS 11. Drew and I have talked at a variety of conferences over the years, including one year having breakfast together at Indiana Linux Fest. So I usually make time to find out what she's been up to. You know, FreeNAS 11 is an interesting product, and she just kind of walked through current state of the product. And of course, anytime you're looking at things involving BSD, which is the root of FreeNAS, you're probably going to find Drew involved somewhere. She's one of the big BSD gurus. But after that, I did go back to the security track for an excellent talk called Top 10 Easy Cybersecurity Wins for Linux Environments by a fellow named Michael Contino. An excellent talk, very knowledgeable speaker. Some of his tips were things I was aware of, but he also brought up some things that were new to me, and I want to follow up on those sometime. So it really was a lot of just little quick wins, all right? You know, easy wins was the whole thing. It's like, you know, if you just do this thing, I mentioned, you know, some of the things I knew of, like, for instance, you know, lock down your temp directory. Don't allow executables. We all know that, but, you know, do we always take the time to do it? So after that, you know, I got up to stretch my legs and ran into Joel McLaughlin and Alan Metzler of the Linux Link Tech Show for a little hallway conversation. And in fact, Joel was about getting ready to leave at that point. And did another pass through the vendor room, then got into a hallway conversation with Michael Contino, the speaker of the 10 Easy Cybersecurity Wins, and a couple of the other folks that were in his talk. Then my final security track talk was by Cody Hofstetter from a company called Sovereign Cyber Industries, called Getting Hit by an 18-Wheeler, Privacy and Anonymity in the Modern Age. I can't say that he told me a whole lot I didn't already know, but he was a very engaging speaker. I was glad to be there. And I would, again, as one of those people, and this is true of pretty much most of the people of the security track, I would go to see them again. You know, so if they're at Ohio Linux Fest next year, I would probably go to see them. After that, we had the final keynote, and that was Taras Balog of the Open NMS Group, who gave us the history of how he came to be the CEO of a successful company that sells free software and the lessons he learned along the way. Now, I first met Taras when he gave the very first keynote at Indiana Linux Fest some years back. And since then, I've seen him at Ohio Linux Fest and similar events. He's a great speaker and a great free software advocate. His talk was wonderful, a great way to round out the talks for the day. And, you know, he had a lot of useful lessons. You know, if you want to set up a company, and, you know, that was one of the things, is that he wanted to establish a company and he wanted to be in free software. And obviously, there are some challenges. Now, it is possible to do that. Red Hat has been very successful doing it. And I hope they continue to be, because I own a few shares. and Taras's Open NMS group is doing very well. So good talk. After that, we had the after party, which was in one of the ballrooms. And unexpected finish for me was the fact that I won the raffle for a 3D printer. Now, I thought about it, and I don't really... I tried to imagine if I had a 3D printer, what it would do. And I figured I would probably play around with it for a week or two, and then it would gather dust. And I thought, well, that's really stupid. And I remembered that we had a charity at PenguinCon a couple of years back called Enable, which uses 3D printers to make hands for children who are missing them. And I thought, boy, that's a much better. So I'm waiting to hear back, but I did contact someone involved with that organization to say, hey, you know, I'd like to donate a 3D printer to you guys. So we'll see how that works. But that's my thinking, and I talked it over with my wife, and she agreed that was probably the best way to go. Overall, great conference. I really enjoyed the speakers. There is a problem, and the problem is diversity. Outside of the, we had two women doing keynotes, and outside of that, the only woman I could see presenting was Drew Levine. I did not see any people of color. And based on my experience programming for PenguinCon the last 4 years, this is probably because they just waited to see what proposals happened to come in. Now, my experience is if that happens, you will, you know, you get a lot of white guys. Right? For a variety of reasons, you need to pursue people. And I think there's this, you may have heard of something called imposter syndrome. And I think that has something to do with it, that, you know, a lot of people who could give awesome talks don't have the self-confidence about, you know, oh, what I'm doing isn't that significant or important. But for whatever reason, I found I had to, you know, actively pursue. So, for instance, this past spring, I had a great presentation to a packed room by a woman named Connie C., who created Scientific Linux. Now, what people might not have known is that I was looking for her over a 2-year period before I found her. I mean, I knew her name. I knew what she had done. And I'm doing Google searches and, you know, sending emails, and nothing happened because she had retired and the old addresses were not valid anymore. And so, I mean, eventually I did track her down, but it took some effort. I was really glad I did because it was a great presentation. You know, another example, someone that that I, you know, when I was at PenguinCon, I would contact every year was Ruth Seeley from Red Hat. Now, Ruth was a keynoter at Ohio Linux Fest a few years ago. But, you know, I would just, as a matter of course, would contact her every year to say, hey, you know, I want you to do a presentation for me. You know, I almost didn't care what it was because I know Ruth well enough to know that any presentation she does is going to be awesome. So, you know, I didn't worry about that. And there were other people, okay. You know, I went to companies. You know, there were companies that were interested in being represented, and I could go to them and say, oh, okay, you know, what do you got, you know? And I would, you know, say, give me a list of speakers, and I could go through and you know, try and pick some people that I thought would help round out the speaker pool. So that's my observation, and, you know, maybe I'm entirely off base, but this is how I approach it. I did talk to the person at Ohio Linux Fest who will be booking speakers for the coming year, and said, hey, you know, I'm happy to share my contacts with you. And, you know, gave him the advice that, yeah, you know, you need to be active. I mean, at PenguinCon, if I had just waited to see who happened to submit proposals, I would have had exactly that same outcome. I know that. I would have had a whole lot of white guys. And I didn't want that. I wanted something that, you know, I wanted the speakers to more or less represent the community, and that's important. Ohio Linux Fest is community, PenguinCon is community, so you want to have that representation. So that's my report on this year's Ohio Linux Fest. This is Ahuka signing off and reminding you, as always, to support free software. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hecker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.